Good evening, and welcome to What the World Needs Now, with host Ken Johnston. Stay tuned as Ken talks with authors, journalists, and others regarding topics important to us as Catholics in a world that's in desperate need of God's love. Love that comforts from heaven
above. And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years and allows me to be here on Wednesdays and to try to bring you great shows like the one I think that we have for you in this hour. Before we get started, just a reminder that coming up on Monday, October the 14th, will be our annual golf outing, one of the two big fundraisers we have here at In His Sign that help us pay for all the expenses. It's not cheap to broadcast these shows on a daily basis, so whatever you can do to help us out. We're going to return to Talamore Country Club. Again, that's Monday, October the 14th. We've uploaded a flyer on our website at inhissign.com with all the information. It'll tell you how to register to play golf. We'll have lunch and dinner. If you want to come just for the dinner, you can do that as well. We're also looking for a number of sponsors, whether it's to sponsor one of the 18 holes or sponsor the lunch or dinner. And always looking for donations for the silent auction. So whatever you can do to help us out, you can always reach Maureen here at 610-527-2906. I've been doing this show now for over 9 years, and I've probably interviewed close to 400 people in that time frame. And sometimes there's certain ones that really come at the right time in God's time. And we've had a series of these now over the last couple of weeks where it's just been one great guest after the other. And I think this is going to be another one that's going to not only help me, but help a lot of people. I'm joined today by Cassie Everts, and she's a wife, mother, author, and speaker. She's the mother to five little ones in heaven and six children on earth. Her writing has appeared at Catholic Exchange and Blessed Is She. She's a former producer at our competition, Relevant Radio, and blogs at everydayand.com. Cassie holds a degree in theology and communication arts from Franciscan University. Cassie, it's great to have you with us. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, Ken. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah. So the title of the book is Nursery of Heaven, Miscarriage, Stillbirth, and Infant Loss in the Lives of the Saints and Today's Parents. Written by Cassie and co-authored with Patrick O'Hearn. It's another book by Sophia Institute Press, so it's available at Sophia's website, sophiainstitute.com, locally here in the Philadelphia market. You can pick it up at the St. Jude Shop over in Havertown. If you're going to go there, I would just give them a ring and make sure that they have it in stock. And if they don't, they can get it for you in short order. But use Sophia Institute or the St. Jude Shop before hitting up the other online retailers. So we only had 30 seconds to chat before we went live, Cassie. And as I mentioned to you, just the little bit of the book that I was able to get to before the show really had an impact on me. And to read in the introduction, you and Patrick both wrote one, and I forget, it was in yours, that it mentions the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists reports that 10% of all pregnancies end in miscarriage, while other resources like the American Pregnancy Association believe the rate may be as high as 25%. And I read your story, and you know it mentions in your bio the five children that you already have in heaven, and I have one as well. And it's I didn't have this resource until a couple of weeks ago when Sophia sent me the advanced copy. And when I read that number and realized how many people are walking around on this planet and how many people I probably encounter on a regular basis that have experienced this loss, I was flabbergasted. I didn't think it was anywhere near that high.
Yeah, it is. It is really surprising because nobody's talking about it, and nobody knows that somebody else has gone through this loss. We really are a silent community, and a silent community in the church. I know when I went through my own miscarriages, I had no idea that our pews were filled with other couples who have gone through something similar or were going through something. I had no idea of this community, especially within our church, of women and couples who have encountered this grief and this loss and who carry this cross. And maybe it was, you know, like years ago, decades ago, maybe it's something they're going through now. But it's much more common than we realize. And I really think it's, you know, a symptom of our culture that we don't talk about it, that we don't, not to say we don't recognize it, because I think we do. We know as Catholics, we know this is a life. We know this is a child created uniquely by God in his image with, you know, the DNA of both parents, never to be repeated again in human history. So we know that. But there's the symptom in the culture that tells us that it's a product of conception, or your child is a tissue, or you can have another baby, or this wasn't meant to be, or whatever else, you know, the message and the lies that the society feeds us that almost make us ashamed to share about our story, to share about our child, to share about the life that we were blessed to carry, for no matter how short or how long, we were blessed to carry this child. And, you know, when we have the medical community, and I experienced this in my own, during our own loss, and, you know, a nurse on the other end called to give me test results one time, and she's like, well, the product of your conception is taken care of. And I remember I was just shocked. Like, this wasn't a product of conception. Like, this was my baby who I am grieving, and I am in pain and heartache over, because they're no longer with me. And so I think there's a disservice when we feel this shame and this guilt that we're not allowed to talk about the child that we carried, the child that is no longer with us, but now in heaven with God, the child that we mourn, the child that we had dreams for and hopes for, and suddenly is taken from us. And it doesn't matter, you know, if the loss happened early on, you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, or later on in pregnancy, it's still a loss. It's still your baby who's no longer with you. And I think part of the reason, too, we don't talk about it is because a lot of times, in the case of miscarriage, the loss happens so early on that I know in some of our own experiences when we miscarried, we haven't even told anybody that we were expecting. You know, between just my husband and I, we were the only ones who really knew that we were even had, that I was even carrying a child. And so then to go from nobody even knowing to all of a sudden being like, oh, by the way, now our baby's not with us anymore and we miscarried. I think that also leads couples to kind of just keep it to themselves. And unfortunately, it's not necessarily a healthy thing, because we don't feel like we can honor our child appropriately, or we can grieve in the appropriate fashion. But like you said, it's so much more common than people realize. And I think the more we can talk about this topic and the more we can have these conversations like we're having today, thank you, Ken, for addressing this topic, because it is really hard to talk about. It is a tough topic. And the book obviously was written for those who've gone through this loss or going through it or know somebody. Maybe they have their own, they're, you know, a grandparent, and they have they see their daughter or son go through this. Maybe it's their grandchild or a niece or nephew, but it's not like this pickup and book to read and like it's a feel-good book. So it is really hard to talk about this, but at the same time, when we're able to address the pain, we're also able to find the beauty and just to allow God's love to just permeate those parts of our hearts that feel this grief and this loss. We're able to allow his love to come in, and then have the hope that our child is in heaven. Our child was God. And we will see, God willing, we will see those babies someday again. And right now, in this time of absence, they are there as a powerful intercessor for us here on earth. They are there before the throne of God with our images, which is so beautiful, before the throne of God and praying for us and praying for their families.
Yeah, and I think that that's key, where others not of our faith, of any faith, especially if they're in the medical field, that, like you said, that to call it a product of conception is so far removed from anything I could possibly call it. But the idea, like you said, that, you know, one day we'll get to actually meet those children, and to think that they are before the throne of God, as you said. And you know, I even think of others. I've got friends that have lost children. They, you know, one as old as 6 years old, and you know, we tend to talk more when that happens. And it's when, now that we're having this conversation, it's really no different whether they're 6 years old or, you know, 6 weeks in utero. It's still a child of God. It's still our child. And I even think, and it comes out in the book, I think, in a couple of the stories, you know, we men, and I only know because I've experienced it, we have no idea what to do. And so just, you know, quick background on mine. I had an alcohol problem, and 2 months after I stopped drinking, we found out that my wife was pregnant. And I thought my world was over. I was so in debt, and it was like, are you kidding me, God? You're going to put another child in our lives, you know, at this moment when, you know, I don't know where the next utility bill is going to be paid from. And I had a good friend of mine who told me that, you know, take it from a sign from God that 9 months from now, you know, you'll be okay financially. You'll be able to handle it. God doesn't give us anything more than we can handle. And I did. And then 2 months later, my wife had gone to the doctors, like I think most women probably would do, on just a routine visit. It would have been a third child for us. I had one from a daughter from a previous marriage that lived with us, and then we had a son together. And so it wasn't like a first child, I guess, where the father would go to every visit. And I remember it like it was yesterday when my wife called crying on the phone, and they couldn't get a heartbeat on the baby. And I had no idea what to do, except I went home. And I remember just sitting on the sofa. I had no idea what to say. No words were going to bring comfort that I could think of. And then I went to a meeting I normally went to, and somebody shared with me, you know, doesn't mean that you won't have any more kids. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you or her, maybe. And like you said, it's like, oh, you'll have another one. And we did. It took eight more years. And then we would have two more children. But it's something that we've not talked about in 32 years. And so this book, you know, I think for those that are going through the same struggle or have experienced the same thing in their lives and kind of, you know, think it's easier to just not bring it up than deal with it. To your point, I think we're missing out on so much, to know that there's that child before the throne of God that's interceding for us. And that we can, and I say it to people that have lost loved ones. I mean, the veil's so thin between us and them that, you know, if we knew how thin it was, we may not grieve as much or feel as badly as we do. And yet the same thing exists for those children that, you know, weren't physically born into this world, unfortunately.
Yeah, and not only, you know, having these children before the throne of God as our intercessor, there's this, just scientifically, a lot of people don't realize that the women, the mothers, carry cells in her body from every child ever conceived. So the cells from every baby ever conceived, miscarried or stillbirth or, you know, given birth, cells stay with the mother, and they're passed on to future children that are conceived. So even though our babies are not with us, like, spiritually they are, because they're interceding for us before the throne of God, and physically they're literally a part of the mother still, because she still carries cells from her child. And so even though, you know, for people who've had a miscarriage years ago, like your own, which I'm so sorry, we never forget. Like, the world spins faster and keeps going and moving on, and we feel like we have to keep up and move on. But the reality is, like, we never forget these babies that were lost and that aren't with us. And I think it's a beautiful way to really remember them, because we never forget in our hearts. But to make them a part of our family, to make them a part of our lives somehow, I think all brings healing to us, and then also honors our child who isn't with us, whether it's, you know, obviously age appropriate, but sharing with the other children that you have in your house, like, you have, maybe you've gone through the loss previously, or maybe you're going through it now. I know for myself, it was, all of our losses came in the first 8 years of our marriage, and then we had children. So it was sharing with our children at age appropriate, you know, ways that you have siblings in heaven. You have these older siblings, brothers and sisters, praying for you in heaven. And my one daughter, it's so sweet, because she's like, I always wanted, she's the oldest girl. And so she's like, I've always wanted a big sister, Mom, and I'll never have a big sister because I'm the oldest girl. But she said, but I really do have a big sister because I have a sister in heaven who can pray for me. And so I think this really, because they are a part of our family, whether they're, you know, they're not here with us, but I think that's a way that we can honor their life and bring healing. Another way is, you know, for people who haven't maybe done this, because again, this topic hasn't been addressed as it should, and it hasn't been given, what's the right word? Just like the honor and, you know, due, like sanctity talking about this as it should have been. And so, for people, I remember going to a prayer service years before, and a lady, an elderly lady, walked up, and she said, I've never named my baby, but tonight I'm naming this child that I had lost, you know, how many years before. And so I think that's another way for people who maybe have lost a child in the past, and they didn't know what to do, and nobody's to blame. Like, nobody's to blame, or don't feel guilty, you know, for myself. I wish I would have known that I could have had a burial for my child. And this was, you know, 15 years ago, but I wish I would have known, like, I could have collected the remains of my baby and I could have had a burial. And sometimes, oh, it sits with me and like, oh, I just feel so awful that I didn't honor my child that way. But what we don't know, we don't know. So we can't allow like the evil one to make us feel this guilt.
Right.
But we can do things now to honor our child, like, to name the baby, to I like to put flowers on the table on remembering the passing of when they went to heaven on that day. Maybe if you have an ultrasound picture, or maybe if there's some thing that reminds you of your child, to display that somewhere in your house. So I think that also brings healing, because your heart and your mind remember. And so why not bring that child into your family, incorporate them into your family life, and so your children can ask for their intercession, and you can honor that unique life.
Yeah, and the way the book was written and laid out, so there's the introduction, and then you get right into the saints, and I know from doing family history research, going back to the, I get as far back as the mid-1700s, and the number of the infants that would die. So, of course, there was records for babies that were actually born, and obviously the infant mortality rate was a lot higher a couple hundred years ago than it is today, but. You know, I just kind of took it for granted, you know, and things got better. And then you open up with a chapter on saints that went through this same experience. And a few of them we may have heard of. There was others, you know, others that we haven't. But, you know, another thing you learn from this book is that there's, you know, we actually have patron saints that have gone through the exact same or similar experience that those that have experienced a miscarriage, stillbirth, or infant loss that we can also turn to as intercessors.
Yeah, and you know, when I went through my own losses, I had no idea that there was these saints that could pray for us. These saints who have gone through something similar, who had went through a similar loss. And, you know, when we think of the lives of the saints, obviously we do put them on a pedestal because we should look up to them. They lived heroic virtue. They lived this life of sanctity and holiness, and that should be something we look up to and model. But I think what we often forget is they were normal human beings, just like us. Like, they had the daily struggles, just like we did. They carried crosses, and they had pain, and they had suffering, and they had heartache and grief, just like we did. And I think there's a lot of comfort in knowing, like, okay, St. Louis and Zélie Martin, you know, we think of them, all their daughters became religious, and that's so beautiful to be... to look at them and they're the model couple to have all five of their daughters enter religious life. But what we don't think about is they also lost four children in a four-year period and two sons and two daughters. And we don't think of that part of, wow, I wonder what that pain was like for St. Zélie and her husband to go through that loss, to lose that many children in a four-year time, one every year. And to experience that pain, but then also to still keep their eyes fixed on Christ. And we have to acknowledge that their very real humanity experienced the grief and the suffering that we all do when we lose somebody, when we experience a miscarriage or stillbirth or infant loss or a child or, you know, whatever the loss may be. But how beautiful that they kept their eyes fixed on Christ. And after the passing of St. Zélie's 7-week-old daughter, she wrote that we have experienced great misfortune. And she said, the best thing to do is to resign myself because my child is happy with God and that consoles me. And so I just think taking those snippets of what the saints went through and what they experienced, and really taking that to heart when we're going through any kind of suffering, especially the loss of a child, a pregnancy loss, and really taking that to heart and making that our own, that we've experienced grief and misfortune, but knowing that our child is with God, and that consoles us. And then she writes, you know, she has gone through this loss, and then after learning of her her own brother and sister-in-law going through their own loss of their son, she writes to them and says, you know, to take strength and consolation knowing that their child is happy, that he sees them and that he's with God and that one day we'll see him again, that you will see them again. You know, another one of my favorite saints is Servant of God, Chiara. And she's a modern day saint. Some of people say, oh, she's like a modern day St. Gianna, and she died in 2012, just at the young age of 28, and she had the mother of three children, and her first two pregnancies came because she lost her first two babies, and they had prenatal diagnosis that they discovered during her ultrasound, where the doctor told them, you know, this child's not going to make it, and they advised, you know, her first baby was a little girl, and they discovered that she had anencephaly, was missing a part of her brain and her skull and her scalp, and the doctors advised her to have an abortion. And her and her husband responded, like, she is our daughter, and we will accompany her as far as God is calling us to. And their daughter Maria was born and only lived 30 minutes, and they were able to have her baptized. But Servant of God, Chiara, said, the day of Maria's birth, I shall always recall as one of the most beautiful days of my life. And I shall tell all of my children about their special sister praying for them in heaven. And then when she became pregnant a second time, they found out again that this child would not make it, that he was missing part of his kidneys and an arm and a leg. And after hearing this news, and again, the doctor encouraging them to have the abortion, they said, God, where are you taking us? And I think those words can be for any of us who have gone through this loss, any kind of suffering, really, you know, any job loss or relationship problem or financial difficulty or whatever it may be, a pregnancy loss, that we just, when we go through these times of suffering, we all have those moments. And it's not to say we lose our faith, but in our crying out to God, in our prayer, we're like, Lord, where are you taking us? Because we don't, in our finite minds, in our humanity, we can't understand where the Lord is leading us or where he could possibly be leading us in this cross, in this pain. And so, Lord, where are you taking us? And I think these saints, there's so many more, you know, saint stories that fill the book, that they're just beautiful witnesses that point us to the cross, that they kept their eyes on Christ, even in their suffering. And it's just a model to us that, okay, we can get through this. Like, we just have to keep our eyes fixed on Christ and to ask these saints to intercede for us. They went through the same thing, like to ask them to pray for us because they're part of this community. They're part of this silent community that it has experienced a pregnancy loss. They're part of this community in the church who's gone through this kind of pain and carry this cross. And so why not ask them to also intercede for us?
Very good. We've already reached the bottom of the hour. Again, our guest today is Cassie Everts, and the book we're talking about is Nursery of Heaven, Miscarriage, Stillbirth, and Infant Loss in the Lives of the Saints and Today's Parents. It's published by Sophia Institute Press, available at sophiainstitute.com. Locally here in the Philadelphia market, go over and visit our friends at the St. Jude Shop in Havertown. And I always say, you know, call just in case. They have a large selection of books, but there's always the possibility that they may not have it in stock. So if you're traveling a distance, you may want to call them first and make sure they have it in stock before you make the trip. We have reached the bottom of the hour, Cassie, so we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to InnerSign Radio Ministry since 1990 and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize, and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your financial and prayerful support that has allowed us to be here for over 40 years now and allows me to be here each and every Wednesday and get to do what I really love to do, and that's spread the Word of God. And today I'm joined by Cassie Everts. We're talking about her book that she wrote with Patrick O'Hearn entitled Nursery of Heaven, Miscarriage, Stillbirth, and Infant Loss in the Lives of the Saints and Today's Parents, published by Sophia Institute Press, available at Sophia's website, sophiainstitute.com, and locally here at the St. Jude Shop in Havertown. And in the first segment, the first half of the show, we talked a little bit about the loss and the sheer numbers that you know, I was surprised to hear, you know, having a miscarriage in my life and not realizing how prevalent it is. And as Cassie, as you've pointed out so well, it's one of those things that we just never talk about. You seldom hear about, or if you do, it might be when it first happens. Especially maybe if people are further along, and obviously the woman might be showing, and then the next time you see him, she's not, and there's no baby. But for the most part, we don't talk about it. And then we were talking about some of the saints that have gone through similar loss that we can turn to. And then the next section of the book really goes through the stories of a number of people. And I don't want to assume, Cassie, are these folks that you came across as a result of the maybe prayer evenings that you've had, or people that you've known personally that you were able to ask to participate in this project?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Between Patrick and myself, it's people that we've heard about their story, we know personally, that we were able to ask if they would be willing to contribute and really share their heart. You know, I think these stories are so personal. And so we're really grateful and we're blessed, because we wouldn't have this book if we didn't have these people who are willing to share their own story of loss, to share the life of their baby. I almost say that they're like sacred stories, because they're so intimate to the heart of what they've gone through in their own loss, and sharing, you know, the short life of their baby with others in the hope that it will bring them comfort and healing. And so we are so grateful for all the contributors who have written so beautifully to make the book what it is. You know, what I love about the stories of the contributors is it helps all of us to be, you know, we have the lives of the saints before us that we can look to. And then to have these stories of, like we say, everyday couples, these modern couples, to read and be like, okay, somebody else out there has gone through something similar. And so we are blessed to have, you know, multiple stories of miscarriage, of stillbirth, and of infant loss. So those reading the book could find some story to relate to, somewhere in there, something that's like, yes, that's what I'm feeling right now, or that's something that I experienced, or I'm not alone in feeling that, or this person was able to still find hope and keep their faith in God after going through that. So these stories of today's couples are so inspiring, just these everyday, you know, men and women who've gone through the loss, willing to share their stories, And it does bring great comfort. And I think they're so beautiful because in the stories, they feel the hand of God. And it's, you know, it's not something that always immediately happens, where we right away feel like there's great consolation when we're going through a trial. You know, we all want that. We're like, okay, where's our sign, Lord? Like, I want to know that you're here with me in this. And sometimes it's like nothing. And I know through my own losses, I was like, God, where are you? Like, we have done everything, and we have been faithful, and we have, like, done every novena and visited the shrine and everything in line with church teaching. And here we are still miscarrying. It's like, Lord, where are you in this? And when I was in that, like, time, that desert, that I didn't see, like, the hand of God right there because I was so almost like so close to the cross of my suffering that, like, I didn't even, like I never gave up my faith. I, like, doubted God's presence, but I didn't, like, see right there a sign, if that makes sense.
Sure.
But somewhere along the line, we all have those moments where we're like, wow, like, God is here with me in my grief, and he has not abandoned me. You know, from the one story, you know, and these are hard to, like, I can't pick up the book and read through the stories without, like, tearing up because they're so personal. And for those of people who've experienced the loss, like, it's so hard. It takes you back sometimes to, like, those moments where you had those, like, same feelings. There's a story of a couple going through the trial of seeing one of their twins. They gave birth to twins, and the one, their daughter, never left the NICU until the very end, until she was in hospice, and they knew she wouldn't make it, and they brought her home. But during the time in the NICU where she never, like, opened her eyes, and she never cried, and they didn't know, everything was perfect during the pregnancy, and they had no idea anything would be wrong with their daughter when she was born. It was one of the moments where the mother was rocking the baby in the middle of the night. And, like, a janitorial staff that she had never seen before, like, walks in the room and says, God is with you. Do you know that? God is here. He's with you. And they leave. And it's like, and she'd never seen this person before, the staff. And it's like those little moments that we have to recognize, like, as the hand of God, as the voice of God coming to console our hearts. There's another story of stillbirth, and this mother was grieving, and she just couldn't find peace, and, you know, wondering why this happened, and she was praying, and all of a sudden she had this image of Our Lady holding her baby, this vivid image of Mary. And what we can take from that is that's real. Like, each one of us, Our Lady has held our baby. Our babies are in heaven with our Lord and our Blessed Mother. And so there's great hope and comfort, even though these stories are hard to read, because I want to be honest, like, sometimes they're hard. Like I said, they bring tears to my eyes, but in them we can find great hope and comfort through our own loss and through the own grief that we're going through, and to know that we're not alone. Because I think one of the most common things is we feel so alone. And we talked about this at the beginning, like, there's a silent community. Our pews are filled with couples who've gone through this. And so knowing, reading these stories of today's parents, knowing, okay, I'm not alone. This person went through the same thing, something very similar. I can relate to what they're going through. And I guess that's kind of our hope for the book, is just to have this companion. So people they don't feel alone. They say, okay, I know I can call my priest and I can ask for this blessing or this prayer service. Or I read the story and I know that, okay, I'm not crazy for feeling this way. Or it's okay that I'm, like, not over this loss, because I think there's a lot of rush, the sense of rush that we just have to, like, move on. I don't need to feel ashamed or guilty because I'm grieving. Or this person, it was really hard on their marriage. Like, it's hard on my marriage too. Like, we're going to still be okay and make it. Like, we're not, you know, like, crazy for going, for going through this or having these thoughts or being upset or angry or any of this, you know? So just to have this companion, really, that I wish I had when I went through my miscarriages, to know that, like, I wasn't alone. And the feelings I had, they're very common and they're very real. And everybody, when they go through a loss like this, there's no straight answer, like no straight path to healing, or there's no straight answer of what you're going to feel, or this is what it's going to look like, or this is how your husband will grieve, or, you know, this is how you'll grieve or find healing, whatever it may be. There's no, you know, like, there's no book answer. But we can find that in this, that this companion of, that we're not alone in this, in whatever way we're grieving, that we're not alone, that there's this community of other people who have found hope and trust God and have found healing.
Yeah, in this, the book, and the book we're talking about is Nursery of Heaven by Kasri Evertz and Patrick O'Hearn, published by Sophia Institute. There's actually 15 individual stories in here, and I would imagine that people that most of them are more than half, I guess, are miscarriages. There's four stories on stillbirth and two on infant loss. But and I think that that's key. Being you know, working with people in recovery from addiction, you know, the 12-step programs are great. They work because it's someplace where people that you talk to can identify with exactly what you're going through. And so many people that parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles that want to help their family members, they can see their lives just you know, going literally going to hell, and they feel helpless because they're doing everything that they know how to do, but they can't help them, and it's because they really can't relate. They don't know what it's like. And I think in the world of miscarriages and stillbirths and infant loss, that it's probably much the same, where unless you've been through it, you don't know what's really going on in somebody's head, and the range of emotions that one may go through, and the spiritual battles that one may go through. And so I'm looking at this book and thinking that that this is like the 12-step meeting for somebody that's going through that, that this is an opportunity to realize that that they're not the only ones that have experienced this, and that there is a way through, and as a result, there's hope. And you know, and I'm just thinking that that's what our Catholic faith, our Catholic Church is supposed to be all about. If nothing else, it should provide hope. And here's the book that can do that for people that have had you know, miscarriages and stillbirths and the loss of infants.
Yeah, it's definitely our prayer that this book provides that help, that somewhere they find comfort and healing and wholeness, you know, and knowing. And I think, you know, you said there's a range of emotions and the lies the devil tries to feed us. And there's so much in that. From women I know for myself, it was like me, I felt like, okay, I'm not good enough, or like there must be something wrong with me, or would my husband ever marry me again, knowing I could never, like, I'm not able to bear him a child. You know, there's all these like lies the devil tries to feed us when we're down, and tries to like get in the middle of our marriages because we're both grieving differently and in different ways. And he sees, like, I feel like he sees that and tries to like divide, like further the divide in marriages when couples are going through this kind of a loss, to the point where there's a 22% more likely for couples to divorce who've gone through a miscarriage. And so there are so many range of emotions and so much that where like the lies the devil tries to feed us. And I think the greatest thing we can do is unite our hearts to prayer, unite our hearts in Christ, really try and strive to grow close relationship with our spouse, even when we're on different wavelengths of healing and different areas of where we're grieving and past, but just to really take the time for each other, for your spouse, and to recognize and respect where they are in their healing process and in their grief, and to frequent the sacrament, you know, go to Mass, sit before the Lord in adoration, go to confession, to do all those things, to receive just the outpouring of grace as much as you can into your lives and into your hearts. And I want to go back to what you said about, you know, for family members who don't know, you don't know until, like, you know, until you've gone through it, kind of thing. And it's no fault. You know, I think when people go through a loss, it's like, okay, I want, like, the perfect thing. What can I say to them? Like, what's the perfect line, or what should I say that will help them find healing, you know? Especially for family members who've never gone through something like this. Like, what can I do? Is, you know, I see that my daughter now is going through this, or my daughter-in-law, or a niece or a cousin, whoever it may be, or a friend. Like, what can I say or do to help bring healing to their life? And it doesn't have to be anything profound. You know, there's nothing, no right answer, anything profound that has to be said. But I just think the little ways that we can support people helps them not feel alone. Even if you don't understand, and even if you haven't been through it, just like the smallest ways of sending a text message, I'm praying for you, or can I make you a meal tonight, or can I, if they have other children, can I watch your other children for you so you have some time for prayer and rest, or just asking how they're doing, checking in with them every so often. Do you need anything? How are you doing? I'm praying for you. Remembering the anniversary of the passing of their child. Just really small ways, simple ways that can make someone feel so supported and uplifted and not alone. You know, I can remember still the cards that I received, the few cards that I received throughout my years of miscarrying. I also remember, will never forget, the flowers that my sister-in-law gave me, flowers on Mother's Day, even though our arms were empty. You know, all of our babies we had lost, and she still gave me flowers on Mother's Day and said, I know you have no children here on earth, but I want you to know that you are still a mother. And I will never, like, I get teared up just thinking about that. Like, I will never forget how much that blessed me and blessed my heart and made me feel not alone, because she saw that, and she saw my grief and my hurt, even though I never talked to her about it. So I just think those really small ways that we can help people not feel alone, that we can help them process their grief, and maybe they'll be willing to, like, open up and talk about it, and not to expect that to be like, oh, this person will talk to me about it, but just by offering these small gestures of Christian charity and love to others, just goes a long way.
Yeah, so you have that in a section for practical ways to help, and then I love the next part, chapter 20, 10 things not to say to people who have lost a child. You mean telling them to buy a dog isn't a good thing to tell them? But I can see people doing that, or, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. And some of those things that, you know, we think that, you know, maybe we think they're common sense, or maybe we'll think they're help, but in the long run, it's pretty cold.
Yeah, when Patrick and I were compiling this list, we were both, you know, like, thinking of things that people had said to us. And it is, like, to not discredit. Like, people say things. I don't think anybody says anything maliciously. Like, they don't know what to say.
Exactly.
So everyone says, they say it with, like, the best intention, and they're lost for words, and they're not sure what to do or what to say. So they'll say these things well-intentioned, because they want to try and bring comfort. But in the end, unfortunately, they can be really hurtful. And the buy a dog thing, you know, when I had said we had to add that to the list, Patrick was like, are you, like, somebody said that? And I was like, yeah, like, I remember this day, this person was like, well, just buy a dog. Like, well, it's not a dog I want. I don't want a dog.
Right,
I want a
right,
baby.
Right.
You know, like, it's not going to, like, comfort my heart to have an animal around. It's not, you know, what we're looking for here. But, and again, these are, like, things that people have probably said well-intentioned, but it's just important to be, like, reminded of, like, there's certain things that can be really hurtful when somebody's going through the pain of this child, of, you know, a child loss, and and grieving. And so it's just to be aware of that and not to be offended. You know, it might, especially for friendships, you know, in circles of friendships, in women's circles of friends, like if you're expecting and you're pregnant and you're really excited, which you should be, but if you're like, if your best friend doesn't want to come to your baby shower, it's not because she doesn't love you and doesn't want to support you. It's because it's too hard for her to experience that. Like, it's too much of a trigger for her to sit through that and see you celebrate, you know, the expectation of your child and see the baby clothes and everything new that comes with new life. It's too hard for them to process that right now. And I think it's important to realize that sometimes what some people need is space. Like, they just need space to be able to process things, because certain things can trigger the emotions that they've experienced. And so don't ever take offense or lose that friendship and be so offended that they're not there for you in those times, because they are, but it's just so hard for them because of their own grief that they're still trying to process and go through.
Very good. We've got about 5 minutes left, and here in part four, when I saw this, it's like I'm thinking this is probably not only for those that have had this experience, but I'm thinking it'd be a great resource for priests. I don't know how many priests are taught in the seminary how to, you know, what to do in these situations, or if there's anything they can do, and to maybe avoid not doing anything, like you mentioned, you know, being able to, you know, gather the remains from a miscarriage and have a proper burial. And there's probably a Catholic rite or prayer or something along those lines that that can be used, and that the church can play a role in helping people in this situation.
Yeah, there are so many beautiful prayers and blessings that I had no idea that were available, and most people don't. Because unfortunately, and this is not trying to blame any parish or church or anything, but just unfortunately a lot of parishes don't have an outreach, or there's not a ministry. And so couples don't know that they can call their priest. They don't know they can be, if they have the remains, that they can ask for a burial, or if they don't, there's this beautiful order for the naming and commending your infant to God, because obviously a baptism isn't possible because the baby's not alive. But there are so many incredible, beautiful resources that we have in the church that don't be afraid to call your pastor and ask for it. Or maybe even it just as simple as, you know, hey, when you do, because a lot of churches do like a Mother's Day blessing. And I think that can be a really painful time for women who've experienced a loss. So maybe it's just asking, maybe can you include another blessing for those who've lost a child, for those mothers who've experienced a pregnancy loss this year as well. And so trying to incorporate as much as we can into like our parish life. Maybe it's just having something put in the bulletin. If you've experienced this, like, please call like your pastor or so-and-so as like a person of contact who can provide more resources for somebody. So I think there's a lot of outreach that can happen in our parish communities, in our diocese. So people are aware that we have these blessings and these prayers, services, funerals that can be done. There's also these beautiful ministries like Heaven's Gain. She's doing amazing work. And I know Donna has gone and spoken at in seminaries, because she sees that there's a need for priests when they're preparing to be ordained, to be aware that this is very common. Like, you are going to encounter parishioners who've gone through this, and this is ways that you can help them. But she also provides what's needed to have a burial for a young child like this, caskets and things like that. They have all those resources. And we're also able to compile, you know, in the back, a resource page of places where people can turn to, obviously outside of the book, but places that can help people find the resources that they need for whatever, you know, stage that they're at in the process of healing and grieving.
Yeah. Well, Cassie, it's been a great hour. It's flown by. I've learned much from the little bit of reading and definitely from our conversation. And I think our listeners have as well. Again, our guest today has been Cassie Everts. The book is Nursery of Heaven, Miscarriage, Stillbirth, and Infant Loss in the Lives of the Saints and Today's Parents, co-authored by Patrick O'Hearn and published by Sophia Institute Press, available at sophiainstitute.com, as well as locally here at the St. Jude Shop. I know you're busy. I think in the message you sent me, you said you had another interview earlier today. So rightfully so, much needed book, and I really appreciate you being able to take the whole hour to be with us, Cassie.
Well, thank you so much, Ken, and I appreciate you giving time to this topic, and I will keep all of your listeners and you in my prayers.
And we'll keep you in prayer as well. Thanks so much for being with us. God bless.
Thank you.
Yeah, after reading the numbers, it's like you look around and you wonder how many other people are in the same boat. And again, this is something that's kind of been buried for 30 years in my life, over 30 years. And, you know, kind of wonder what's going to play out in the hours, days, weeks to come as a result of this coming back up again. And, you know, no matter what comes up in our lives, things from the past may come. And if they do, they've come for a reason. And maybe there's some healing that needs to come about. If you've gone through this or know somebody that has, I'd encourage you to go ahead and pick up the book. Maybe share let them know that there'll be a recording of this show available after 12 o'clock tomorrow that they can listen to it in hissign.com. Once again on this Wednesday, it's been my privilege to be here and to be able to do this kind of work. I was on a retreat over this past weekend, the same retreat I went on 32 years ago, where I had a fantastic spiritual experience, which was really what set me on a path that has led me to this moment. And so I can't thank God enough, and I can't thank you enough for whatever you do to help us out that allows me to be there. So look forward to being with you again next Wednesday. Until then, take care and God bless.